Would you open with me to your Bibles? Just looking at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And you may not know this, but I mean, actually you can break down verses into like A, B, C, D. I mean, Bible scholars do that. I'm just looking at the first clause for today as I talk about this idea of everyday evangelism, which we just sang about as well. From Jesus' Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19a, this is a command, not a suggestion. Jesus says, therefore what? Go and make disciples of whom? Of all the nations. We'll talk about that a little bit in just a minute. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we just thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, that we can practice our Christian faith, that we can share our Christian faith without fear of the authorities, as is so true in so many other countries. Lord, we just ask you to open your word to our hearts. Pray that you would, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this always and only in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So Deb and I would like to thank all of you, your dear church family, for all your prayers while we were away in the Far East. And what I was a little surprised. Many, many people asked me to share some stories of our adventures in China. And I, since we were going, and it was in the neighborhood, I tacked on Japan and Korea because I could. And while we're still kind of getting over our jet lag, and I picked up a nice little sinus infection on the way home, we had some amazing sort of lifetime adventures in East Asia. It is good to be back home. It's good to sleep in our own bed, eat our own food, and speak our own language again. That's nice, but we had a great time. Now, a number of people here in the Mosaic Church family were particularly concerned about our time in communist China. As many of you know, we actually had to hire a visa advisor. It was like 750 bones for this one, just to get us through the paperwork. We just showed up in Japan and Korea, and they're like, hey, welcome, stamp, not in China, right? And then because I'm a pastor, I had to sign another form that basically said I would not conduct any Billy Graham-type evangelistic crusades while there, literally. I was like, huh. And what I noticed was before I left, there was a certain amount of concern. Basically, a number of individuals came to me, and they said it a lot nicer than this, but they were like, hey, Jim, can you just shut your big mouth? Don't get jailed. I was surprised at the number of people that basically said that. You said it nicer than that. But anyway, I just want to share this morning that God came through in ways that I could not have come up with in my wildest dreams, and I didn't even have to shut my big mouth. Right? So I want to share a few stories this morning, how God worked in some epic ways, not in just China, but Japan. And I believe it was while I was in Asia, God gave me this topic and title for this morning's message. I want to share it on my first Sunday back. Want to talk about everyday evangelism. Because it's really important to keep in mind, the sharing of our Christian faith with others is not a project or an event. When we treat other people as if they were a project, they know. They want to be treated like human beings, right? Right? That's why everyday evangelism should be a part of our simple dailies. It should be easy, and then dare I say, exciting, a normal part of our lives. Matthew 28, verse 19. Now, you've heard me preach before about Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are well-known verses here at Mosaic. Jesus' Great Commission. It's an important part of our church DNA. We've looked at it frequently. But it was Jesus' words just in the first clause of verse 19 that really struck me powerfully while I was in Asia. You know, you may not know, but the gospel has a somewhat checkered history in the Far East, and it depends on the country. Over the years, and I decided as we finish next week our adult ed on Joshua, I'm going to take just a few weeks and talk about the history of the faith moving through these areas and how it stuck or didn't stick and why. Talk a little bit about what that looks like in Japan. You know, only 1.5% of all Japanese are Christians. There's a reason for that. I found out China, the results are encouraging. The Chinese population is probably 8 to 9% Christian now and growing. In Korea, it is 30 to 35% of the population, but 50% of the people in Korea now have no religion, no faith whatsoever. So it stands in stark contrast. It's atheism, then Christianity, then a little bit of traditional Buddhism in there. We'll talk more about that in the days ahead. And I just found out last night, and it works perfectly in that theme. Looks like we're gonna get a visit from our dear old friend, Joel Meyer, who's returning to Indonesia for missions. Week after next Sunday, which is Father's Day, and he's gonna be sharing about the work that God's called him to do. With us once again. I'm excited about that. Some of you have enjoyed our life group times on Thursday. It's on hiatus for the summer. I just found out season 4 of The Chosen has just dropped along with the new Bible studies. That's what we'll be doing out of the gate next fall. Should be fun. Just sharing that a little bit. But Jesus' final words to his disciples, including us, Matthew 28, include this often missed idea of sharing and spreading the Christian faith. This is to be done by all believers, not just those who have a special call to overseas missionary service. Again, look at Matthew 28:19. A, the first clause. Jesus hasn't simply told us, he has commanded us, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Here's a little light exegesis this morning. Now, not some people, not just the people we like, but all people of all nations as well. And the Greek behind this is actually more interesting. The Greek word that the NIV translates as nations is more specific. It really is this. It's go and make disciples of all ethnicities, right? Because obviously every culture usually has several or multiple ethnic groups within it. So it's even more specific than a broad category of nations. And so Jesus is telling us that the good news needs to be shared with every people group in the world. And if we've learned anything from the history of missions over the years, that will vary in level of ease or difficulty depending on that individual ethnic group. You know, but we live increasingly in the West in scoffing societies. I saw this in Korea very clearly, but Christians still have a big presence there. You know, I'm hearing more and more from younger people thinking the Christian faith and the Bible is kind of a collection of myths and fairy tales. If that were the case, then why is the Bible still a banned book in 25% of the nations of this world? If it's just a bunch of cute stories for the kids or something. It's literally banned in a quarter of the nations on the face of the earth today. Please, let's be very, very clear. The communist Chinese know that the Bible is a book of power. It is a book of power. That's why they don't want their people reading it. Hello, found that out real quick. Right? So we as the followers of Jesus Christ were commanded to go in his name for what purposes? To make new disciples from every ethnicity and people group. Now, you don't need me to tell you that America is really a world melting pot par excellence. That's why for years we engaged in cross-cultural ministries in New York City and Chicago. I had the good fortune, when I was a professor of New Testament at DePaul University in Chicago, the Princeton Review actually deemed DePaul University as the most diverse university in the United States of America. So that meant that I had the nations in my classroom, and I loved it. I loved it, let me tell you. I was just excited then as I am now about obeying Jesus's command to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's kind of why I showed you that J. John video again. We've seen it a couple times, right? I love how he's so excited about doing kingdom work. He said the kingdom is not just here, but it's actually intergalactic. Have you thought about that? Right? That's why I sort of take inspiration from guys like Reverend J. John, and because you might as well have some fun. So when people ask me what I do, I might give them different answers, but it's really the same answer. So here's a few of them. And so what do you do, Jim? Sometimes I've said, oh, I'm in the import-export business. Oh, that's so interesting. Do tell more. Okay. Another one. And so what do you do, Jim? I've used this one. Oh, I clear trash out of the road. Oh, you don't say. So you work for the Department of Transportation. In a manner of speaking, yes. My current favorite is this. And so what do you do, Jim? I currently say, I'm a minor officer in His Majesty's Imperial Service. So you work for the king? Yes, yes I do. Well, how does that work? You're clearly an American, right? Oh, I don't work for the dude in Britain. I work for the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's always an interesting question. Sometimes it ends just there. It's like, this guy's a psycho. You never know. But in your going, in your going, make disciples. I digress a little bit. Back to the verse today. So all followers of Jesus are commanded by their Lord to make disciples of all the ethnicities and nations of this earth. One more point I'd like to make exegetically, verse 19a, the first word of the verse, NIV translated as go, and that's not bad, that's good. Go and make disciples of all the world's people groups. But underneath the word go, there's a lot more than meets the eye in the original Greek. Actually, I discovered and looked it up again this week, the word go can be translated as you go, or in your goings about of life. A little slangy there, right? But, you know, you're going places, you're moving around. In your daily goings, it can also mean this, in your travels or on your journey. So I thought, wow, that's some added interest and nuance there. So as you live out your daily life, during life's travels, while you are on life's journey, you are to make disciples of any and all different people that you encounter. And that's part of the fun of it. You just don't know, do you, from season to season. Many of you have great stories. Oh, the Lord brought this person in my life or this situation. I could have never made that up, but here's what He's calling me to do. It's awesome, right? This dismisses the false idea that somehow this verse only applies to overseas missionaries, right? Now, we're eternally grateful for those who have heard God's special call. You think of the Bowers or Janie or others who have been called to, at different times of their life, to preach the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. What this means, though, is that, keep in mind Acts 1:8, we've talked about that as well. The spreading of the good news of Jesus is actually threefold, right? You are to be my witnesses, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost or the end parts of the earth, right? What that means is that everyday evangelism is to naturally happen locally in the place where you live. For us, that's here in the Bitterroot Valley. Regionally, that we could think of that as our state or our area of the country, and to all the foreign nations and peoples of the world. Now, when I got back, I heard a lot of different stories. We had some hospital visits while I was gone. I didn't have anything to do with that I know of. But anyway, I haven't talked with him about this yet, but I heard a good word about when I was gone. Dwight Peterson had to take Miss Bonnie to the hospital for some tests. Everything seems to be good, no, Dwight? Well, I heard a good word that a woman interacted with you and wanted to hear about the good news of Jesus, right? You didn't expect that when you took Miss Bonnie to the hospital. Was this a nurse or just a patient lady?
Yeah, late at night, she was walking me out of the hospital.
And nurse?
All the way to the door.
Oh, walked you to the door, and she was asking.
She walked a lot further than she needed to.
Oh, did she?
Question.
This is a perfect example. In your goings, make disciples, share the good news of Jesus. A great example of that, I think, as you're going. Where's Miss Joan? Did I see Joan earlier? She's in back. She keeps moving and shifting like a missionary. She's getting ready to do some disaster relief chaplaincy work this month. I believe in Texas, you told me, right? right? This is tornado season in much of our country. So Joan has felt God's call to minister in a regional sort of way in her goings. Here's another very practical example. I was thinking about these things this week. It's so simple. We make it so hard, I think. And I was reminded that witnessing to Chinese people didn't happen for the first time on our recent trip. But there was a season, I've shared this with some of you, in our church in Chicago. We ministered to grad students at the University of Chicago primarily. And there was a season when God brought us a lot of unbelieving Chinese scientists. I mean, a ton of them. And what was really interesting is they were really hungry for Christian kindness and friendship. And so we welcomed them in our goings about in life, so to speak. And you know what? We saw many unbelieving Chinese scientific people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and receive water baptism in those times and seasons. Many. And we loved them, we discipled them, and guess what? We sent them back to China with these words. This is what I would say to them. I said, "Now you are the missionaries of Jesus Christ to your fellow Chinese. Go back and make disciples in Jesus' name." Amen? Because they're not receiving outside missionaries these days, right? But when they come to the U.S. for education, get on it. That's why we support people like Aaron McConaughey and others who are working with internationals. Guess what? The nations are coming to Missoula. You know, you already know that, right? And sometimes you may like that, sometimes you may not like that. But it is an opportunity in our goings to share the gospel. And this is just some examples of everyday evangelism, folks. Now, back to the trip to the Far East. After finally getting approved for our visa in China, I thought, well, since we're in the neighborhood, why not spend a few days in Japan and Korea as well? Thoroughly enjoyed that. This brought me back to my college days because I had two majors, one in comparative religion and one in history. And so I spent most of my time actually studying East Asian history and religions. I thought that God would be sending me to the mission field. He did. But it wasn't overseas, it was in the big cities. And that was great training. And I got to revisit those studies and then see those places for the first time. Again, we'll have a special little series on that in adult ed in a couple weeks. But again, Christianity has had a rough go of it in Japan because of persecution and being banned. Only about 1.5% of Japanese are Christian today. But what's really ironic is they love the commercial aspects of Christmas. They celebrate Christmas without the king, and they love Santa Claus. They love Santa. You're like, how does that work? Well, we seem to be doing it here in America, right? Where's Christ in Christmas anymore? You hear me? Well, wait till Advent. I'll beat that horse then. But anyway, it's strange, right? But we visited some different temples and shrines, made our way down to Kyoto and Osaka. We got to take the Shinkansen, the bullet train. Amazing. It's so smooth. You ever sat on Amtrak, you know? It's like I'm losing fillings on the, you know, but it's so smooth, 200 miles an hour, and your water bottle doesn't move. It's amazing. We got down there and flew to China, Shanghai, and then on to Kunming in Western China. And Marie gave me this great pointer. She said, don't put it in anybody's eyes. I haven't used one of these since I was a professor. We don't have any cats in here, do we? Anyway, quick geography lesson. So Japan here. Sorry, I'm on a lot of steroids, so I'm really jumpy, if you haven't noticed. When we went here and there. No, we flew to Shanghai. I'm using two hands. And then we flew over to Kunming down here. Actually, this is the capital of Yunnan province. This is one of the western provinces. As you go from this way to this way, the food gets hotter. Hotter. I loved it. Deb was like, oh. Some of you were worried. Deb was not sick at all. The problem was Asians don't do gluten-free food. There's actually a gene that seems to be present with Asians that doesn't get messed up, so they don't really have a lot of gluten-free problems. So they don't even think about it. So it was kind of a tough go with food for Deb. I loved it. But anyway, we're down here. It's actually, this part of China is closer to Vietnam than Beijing, the capital up here, right? And it's right on the border of Tibet there and that kind of thing. And this is where we were at for the wedding. And this is pretty interesting. So Kunming is known as the spring city. It's warm weather. It has hot and spicy food. And it's the king of all of China's teas. The Chinese love this region here because it's... where am I? There we go. This is where it grows the famous pu'er tea. It's highly desired by the Chinese. Each region has their own. And you may know in Beijing, they like jasmine tea. You may be more aware of that one. But pu'er is sort of the king of the teas. Now, anyway, all that to say, it was helpful. Xu Han's father spoke pretty good English. He learned it in the University of Beijing. And we had several young university students that helped translate. And as I said in adult ed, Google Translate was my friend. Very helpful. Google Maps was my friend. Until we went to Korea and I couldn't use it because it's banned by the government. Because the South Koreans are very nervous about mapping with North Korea. Just... So I had to use their maps. It wasn't quite as good, but it worked. Anyway, Baco bits here. Xu Han's father and her family, what I found in China is that financial and material prosperity is one of the most important things in Chinese society. While not knowing many Christians, Xu Han's father, Sheng Tao, and I became very friendly, became friends, and he was trying to figure out what I did for a living because he didn't know very many Christians at all. This is a new thing to him. Now, he had to use his own cultural lens to sort of understand what I do. This cracked me up. And he knew something about Buddhism and Buddhist monks because there's still a little bit around there. And he said this to me. He said, "Oh, now I understand what you do now, Jim." He said, "Oh, you are a poor holy Christian priest." That's what he got out of this. And I just started cracking up. And sometimes it's better left there. Just don't mess with things. It just makes it worse. "You're a poor holy Christian priest." I get that. And he said, I mean, he wasn't happy about the poor part because my son was marrying him. It's not what we had in mind, but it's what we got. He wasn't really wrong. I didn't enter into ministry to get rich, obviously. And as Christians, we do want an increasingness of the holiness of God in our lives, right? Yes? And obviously, I'm not a priest in the Catholic sense, but it is my desire to mediate or offer the good news of Jesus Christ with others, right? Share and disciple other people as I move down Rhodes' life. So to speak. And so they realized they got a package deal. So Xu Han's parents accepted that I'm a poor holy Christian priest and that my wife has joined me. There they are, Shang Tao and Lue, in this calling. He kept translating for his wife, and it just cracked me up because, you know, when people finally get something and the lights turn on, they're like, "Oh," you know? And she figured out, okay, Deb helps me, and she was like, "Oh, you care for the needy orphans of America." The needy orphans of America. I just started cracking up. I'm like, she wasn't wrong. They said, "Okay, you're now part of the family." It's a big thing in China. Christian life is not boring, people. If your Christian life is boring, you're doing it wrong, right? Let's talk about that. I wonder what God is going to use this for his glory in the days ahead. I don't know. I don't have to know. I just have to be available, right? That's everyday evangelism, people. Now, I don't want to forget the main event. That's what some of you have been asking about, how God answered your prayers for Deb and I. We didn't know how this was going to work out. You ever notice God doesn't always tell you his plans? You know, that old, you know, you want a surefire way to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Tell him your plans as a Christian. Now, this happened just before we left. Shuhan, my daughter-in-law, asked me if I would perform an abridged Christian wedding ceremony as a part of the traditional Chinese wedding ceremony, which is very, very different, let me tell you. And I, you know what I said? Absolutely. Yes. And amen. So in preparation, I took the traditional Christian wedding ceremony that I've been using for 30 plus years, and I had to break it down to its essential parts. And I thought, well, this is an interesting exercise. So there's scripture, intentions, vows, rings, and the pronouncement announcement. So I sent this back in a bridge form to Shuhan. There they are. That's on their wedding day in a big, big expensive hotel. I found out later that the father of the groom is supposed to pay for this. But I'm a poor holy Christian priest, people. Amen. Amen. So there they are. It was quite a soiree, and she's in her traditional, very beautiful Chinese gowns, kind of looking like a Chinese empress. He cleaned up and put on a black suit, which was good enough. Most people were happy, I guess. And so I sent this to Shuhan. She translated it into Chinese and had it projected out for the 300 people that were there. Yeah. Now, 95% of these people had never seen or heard a Christian wedding ceremony, ever. And much to my surprise, when I went on stage, well over half of the unbelievers got out of their chairs to videotape it and take pictures. I could not believe the response. If I can use an old word, these unbelievers were spellbound. They'd never seen anything like this. I mean, besides the novelty of it, they hadn't heard these ideas before. So this is what I did. I shared with them the Christian idea of love from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is not a feeling. Love is actions, right? In daily life, how marriage was God's institution for the benefit of humanity, how I got to share how Jesus was God's son, hello, and how their vows were holy in God's eyes, and the rings that they put on were a symbol of a lifelong commitment to one another. That's where I concentrated it, right? And afterwards, I had a lot of unbelievers coming to me to shake my hand and thanking me. Even Shuhan's parents were moved. I think they were moved when they had to pay the bill too. But man, I mean, Luav brought 3 stacks of Chinese money. You ever in the bank when they go like that 3 times? I was like, wow. I still owe some money, but anyway, that could take a while. I was really struck. There were three Christian believers that came to me after the ceremony, right? One, and I put it in the notes, but I'm going to leave out their names in case. One was a mother and a son from Kunming. Turns out the son was a worship and Christian art major at a Christian university in California, from that town. I wouldn't imagine, I imagine he'll be returning. In your going, make disciples, right? And they said, we have never seen a Christian wedding ceremony in a traditional Chinese ceremony. Thank you so much for that witness. And it was so encouraging, so encouraging. You know, God never leaves himself without a witness, no matter where you are, right? And here's a few Christians engaged in everyday evangelism in Kunming. God also surprised us with a Catholic Christian man who actually sat with us during the meal, right? This gentleman was born in China, emigrated to the U.S., became a Christian, was the head of major Asian companies, I won't say what, for his sake. I don't know if the commies are still watching me. I did have a run-in with my retainer, though. That was hilarious. During COVID, he was in Kunming. He got stuck there during the pandemic, started a business, joined a church, and stayed. This gentleman, a fascinating man. Recently, he shared that his Catholic priest was approached by government officials who asked him a question that changed everything for his church. This is real. You see, the Catholic churches, the communists want absolute control. Unlike Protestant churches like ours that are kind of separate and doing their own thing, the Catholic churches are tied to Rome, and the priest was asked this by the official. Simple question. Who is in control and in authority over this church? This was the question, and the priest said, my bishop. Wrong answer. Right answer, but wrong answer. They wanted him to say the Chinese Communist government. Guess what they did the next day to his church? He told me this. They bulldozed it. This stuff is real, people. So when I pray for the persecuted church, when I pray thanking God for our freedoms as Americans that we can be here, I'm not playing. This is real, right? They bulldozed his church, and this is what they have to do now. Now they have to meet in hotel conference rooms. And because of the fear of the government, the hotel conference rooms will only rent them space 1 week at a time and then won't do it for several weeks. I mean, they want the money, but they don't want the trouble, okay? And so please pray for this gentleman. I will leave his name anonymous, for his pastor and his church as they seek to share the love of Jesus with the people of Kunming in Yunnan province of China. Now that's a whole new take on everyday evangelism, isn't it? It's serious, people. Now, much more could be said, and of course, I'm happy to talk about any of it with, if you have any interest. I will go into this a bit more deeply in our adult ed teaching time in the next couple of weeks, but let me recap a little bit today. From Matthew 28:19, Jesus reminds us that we are commanded, it's not a suggestion, we are commanded to make everyday evangelism a lifestyle. Now, you're like, well, I'm not really, you know, I'm not good with words, Jim, or I get nervous. Evangelism is not only what you say, it's what you do. It's who you are, right? St. Francis of Assisi said this, at all times and all places, preach the gospel and use words if you must. Will they know you're a Christian by your love? Remember the 70s song? That's an important question. And in places like this, they will know. They will find out one way or another. Matthew 28:19, in your goings, throughout your life's journey, make disciples of the peoples of the earth. How exciting it is to be on Jesus's mission. Who will he bring into your life to share his love? Who will he send you to disciple in his name? You don't know. He'll make it clear over time. You know, the Christian life is an exciting one, right? Everyday evangelism should be a natural thing in our life. It's not a project or a season. It's a lifestyle for the followers of Jesus. We do have a powerful God who answers prayer, amen? Right? He answered your prayers on our behalf. I was able to share the gospel in a very specific setting that I couldn't really get in trouble for because I was invited to, right? The previous night, I did run into my retainer. It was rather funny. I was leaving the room to go to the boys' hotel room, and there was a small Chinese lady, probably 90 pounds dripping wet, furiously taking pictures of me. It wasn't like a casual thing like, oh, there's a white dude, because actually all the kids, none of them have seen white guy, and they'd all like, you know, because they're just not there in that far province. But she was sending my stuff to the government as required. And I was irritated, and I got my oldest son, Zach, who is pretty tatted up now, kind of looks a little rough. And I said, Zach, because my oldest son is an atheist, he doesn't believe in God. And I said, look, here's the retainer, the Chinese government, because they don't like my Christianity. I want it to be a witness to him. And he was like, huh. And he walked out shirtless, tatted up, and scared the poor Chinese lady, and she ran away. She got her pictures. I said, oh, I guess maybe there is a God, huh, son? Everyday evangelism. As you go, I got to share Jesus with my son in China, thanks to the retainer lady. It's interesting. If your Christian life is boring, you're not doing it right. Right? It's an exciting one. We have a powerful God who answers prayer, answered your prayers. He allowed a platform for the gospel in China I could never have made up on my best day. This is what our God does. How spiritually exciting to be a follower of Jesus and to joyfully obey him in the matter of everyday evangelism. Amen? Thank you for your prayers. It was a great time, but it's great to be back with you. Amen? And we get, this is an opportunity where we get to share new life, whether it be a baby on the way or a marriage on the way. I want to close our service now, but I want to encourage you to come and celebrate with Sheldon and Brenda as their spiritual family what God is doing in their lives. Everyday evangelism, people. What will God use you guys for in the days ahead? I know it'll be great things. Don't know what it is, but Idaho will benefit. We're sorry, Montana, sorry to see you go. Sorry, Sheldon. But you made some quip on Facebook about Montana the other day, I saw. I do research, sir. I sound like the Chinese government now. I got questions. All right, let me close in prayer before I lose my voice. Father in heaven, thanks again for your great love. Thank you that you call us to an exciting journey, everyday evangelism. Going in our goings, in our life journeys and travel, sharing the love of Jesus. Could be through specific words, could be acts, could be, as Mother Teresa said, just a kindly smile to someone who's hurting. Lord, use us for your honor and glory. Help us to obey your commandment, and may we receive the joy of Jesus in all of this. And we pray it in your name, saying, amen.